You know, you're stereo for me. I don't know why.
I think it's just, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it's the driver with the card that I have.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of this creative. Maybe someone for Christmas will get me a better card, like a Turtle Beach card or something.
Maybe
hint,
so.
Hint to the chat room. All right. I'll put it on my Amazon wish list. All right, then.
Daniel.
Yeah, Adam.
Are you recording now?
I am recording now.
Then let's kick this pig.
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Real Fantasy Castles. When you want to go to a theme park and see an actual castle that, you know, looks like a castle and doesn't look like something that's in danger of being stomped on by the local foliage, you should probably go to Disney World in Florida, where they have a real castle. And don't forget while you're there to use the special listener checkout code DI Plus for a fantastic discount. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the fantasy real castle-free state of Arkansas. That's hard to say. By the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Welcome back to the Palatial Pride 48 Studios.
Well, thank you. I didn't think I was going to make it here this evening.
I know.
I originally was supposed to land in Hartford at 7:25, which would have given me, obviously, you know, 2.5 hours to get here for the show. But what happened is somewhere in Detroit, the plane was still on time. It was still ready to go on time. And I made the horrible mistake of texting someone, oh, no, everything's on time. I'll be, you know, everything's running on time. No yeah. sooner had I hit send on that than the little lady comes over and is like, if you're on flight 1204 to Hartford, all the toilets are broken and we're trying to fix them. And you may be delayed. And
yeah, I love it. One time we were delayed and they actually told us there was a small puncture in the side of the plane. No problem. We have fixed it. You know, no worries at all. And I was thinking, you know, what'd they do, like get some duct tape and some put on the outside of that thing?
Yeah, some Bondo.
You know, but you made it.
I know, I made it. What happened is we didn't know whether we were going to be delayed or not, because at that point they could have fixed the toilets, but then they came back and said that it might be, the toilets not flushing might be an electrical issue. And I'm just like, what kind of electricity is running into these toilets exactly? And do I ever really want to use a airline bathroom ever again?
That's in case they need you to get out of the restroom quickly. And they're like, okay, Captain, you're going to have to use the toilet taser.
This is probably why you don't tamper with the smoke alarm in there. It has nothing to do with smoking in there. It's just that if you tamper with the smoke alarm, you'll ruin the flushing and something. Anyway, so they had to put us on a different plane, and I didn't end up landing until like 8 o'clock. By the time I got my luggage and got to the parking place to retrieve my car, it was 8:30. But you think in your head, hey, that's still an hour and a half. I can still make it here.
Yeah.
But of course, it's Connecticut, and there was an accident on the interstate, and so that, you know, had me parked. I was sitting on the interstate outside of Lurie Dean. I could see Lurie Dean's apartment from where I was stuck on the interstate. I could have, you know, run over there.
You know, in the lovely state of Arkansas, the Arkansas International, the Northwest Arkansas International Airport and Trailer Park,
yes,
is only about 10 minutes away from my house.
Wow.
So it takes me no time to get, and there's
none.
No traffic.
Anyway, so because I'm late and because I'm just coming back from a trip, we're going to try to abbreviate this show this evening. So let's see how well we could do. You know what, Adam? It is 10:17 p.m. on a Tuesday evening, and that can mean only one thing. We are streaming live on Pride48.com, and we are joined by a world-class, wonderful chat room with lots of inciting and important people in it. Who would that be?
Inciting?
Exciting.
Exciting. Bumbles Bounce, Crone, Good Humor Penguin, Joe and Austin. Hi, Joe. Nico, RT Cruiser, Spanking B. Arthur. Hi, B. Arthur. Toppy Smelly. Carrie.
And Carrie, who's not talking.
Sorry, I ran out of steam there at the end. I apologize.
Carrie.
ran out of breath. It's not on purpose. So I, while you were gone,
yes.
I'll just jump right in
please
here.
Please do. Please jump right in.
While you were gone, you were missed, by the way. All of us here at the Pride 48 Studios missed you. But
you don't even talk to me except on Tuesday evening, so how would you possibly miss me?
I texted you today, I'm earlier.
Back. Yeah, to basically see if I was going to be here tonight so that you would...
not really. I was bitching about something.
You had Joe Batance on standby.
You told me to find a standby person.
Well, I didn't tell you to find Joe Batance, for God's
and
sake.
And I didn't... Oh, well, Joe Batance is a podcast whore. He will be on anybody's show for a nickel and a taco.
And a soda stream. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So so while you were gone, yeah. I Sunday morning, we were doing our first Christmas concert at church, and the little twink boy who sits next to me...
Now, would this be the definition of twink that used on Catching Up, or is this a... different definition.
See, that is, we are not going into that. But
like, you know what? I was several people had never heard of my podcast before, and they listened to one of the episodes. We were starting to listen to one of the episodes, and I realized how much inside baseball talk we do here. So, for those of you who may not have ever heard this show before, Catching Up is another little show. They're not as popular as us, but they are another little show. They have two wannabe comedian hosts on it. One of them's from San Antonio, and the other one's from I forget. I don't even remember. And so they basically call each other every week and they catch up. And they're just really judgmental little, queens. And
twink wannabes. No. I think he fits all definitions of twink. But anyway, so he's like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to a Wynton Marsalis concert tonight. And for those of you who don't know.
Wynton Marsalis would, of course, be Brandon Marsalis' brother.
Not Brandon, it's Branford.
Branford, there.
But anyway, Branford plays saxophone, and he used to be the leader of the Tonight Show band. But anyway, so I love Wynton Marsalis. So I thought, oh, that would be great. I want to go to that.
Well,
and
that's you that's getting texted. I kept looking over my phone to see who's getting texted.
I don't know who's texting me. Who is texting me?
Whoever it is, they've interrupted the story of, wait, hold on just a second.
Everyone always interrupts me.
I don't get that. I don't understand what that is. Yes, hello. There's no preview available for this attachment. Okay.
Hi, guys. Arthur Cruiser again for the Celebrity Death Phone.
Yes.
Duchess of Alba.
The Duchess of Alba.
Most titled person in the world. And the richest person in Spain.
You played that one last week.
We played this already. He's trying to sneak back in here for...
I think you just played it again.
I'm sure what I meant to play was this one. Without downloading it, I meant to play this one.
Rolling Stones sax player Bobby Keys dead. He was 70 years young. Almost a Morgan Freeman. Kevin Bacon, mm-hmm. dead or alive. Thanks.
Okay, congratulations, Kathy. Ta-da!
Congratulations. All right, great. You know what? Right. It was so rude of Kathy Bacon to interrupt your story, though. Please, go ahead, Adam.
It's all right. So I was so excited.
Who was texting you, by the way?
My mom. She sent me photos of her Christmas tree that they put up over the weekend. Anyway, so I was really excited, and I decided I was going to invite my parents and my grandma. And this was an expensive venture. Because the tickets were $72 a piece.
That's almost as much as it costs to walk on the plexiglass platform at the Grand Canyon.
Almost. That's true. That's true. But there were four of us because I was going to pay. And they wanted to go, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I was getting ready to go. And Sydney starts to jump up on the couch.
Yes.
And I smell this aroma of poo.
That's not an aroma. So, that's a stink.
I grab her quickly because I don't know. I'm like, I assume this is coming from you. I don't want you sitting on the couch.
Mittens farted and you snatched up the dog and grabbed her to haul her outside.
Luckily,
yes,
I was correct and there was like diarrhea on her fur.
Aww.
So I got her. Anyway, this was like 45 minutes before I had to leave. And then I pick her up and we're trying to figure out what to do with her, like put her in the bath, whatever. She throws up twice on the carpet.
Aww.
And then Mark takes her and starts to give her a bath. And I'm trying to get ready in the other bathroom for this Wynton Marsalis concert. And he thinks he's done. He washes her off and shampoos her and does all that and takes her out and starts to dry her. And she has diarrhea on the carpet where he's drying her. So he runs her outside to let her finish doing that. You know, now she needs another bath. And now we have vomit on the carpet in one place, diarrhea on the carpet in another place. I have to clean those up and get ready to go to a Wynton Marsalis concert.
Wow.
Mark is now on bath number two for Sydney.
Wow.
Anyway, I made it. I made it fine. And it was a wonderful big band Christmas concert. But what I will say is...
You've been saying. I don't know what you mean.
Wynton Marsalis.
Wynton Marsalis, yes.
He is one of the best trumpet players in the world. But...
Uh-oh.
I enjoy his classical stuff.
Now, was this the thing that started off your Facebook rant the other day about how, like, people shouldn't improv in jazz?
Yes. Let me tell you something. This... No, I'm just kidding.
No. Do not make me de-patancify this show again.
He is... He is the conductor of the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra in New York. And so they travel around, and he's basically the front man because a lot of people are going to go, do we want to go see the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra? I don't know. You know, we could see him anytime, whatever. But you put Wynton Marsalis and the in front of anything, and people are going to go because they want to see Wynton Marsalis.
Wynton Marsalis and the bowl of chili.
And, and most of the time he's, sitting in the trumpet section in the back, and he talks between songs. And so, but
I was just saying that because Cronin in the chat room was saying she didn't know if she wanted to eat that bowl of chili since you were talking about diarrhea. So I figured if you put Ranson Marsalis in front of anything and it would make it better. Wynton Marsalis. Wynton Marsalis.
Anyway, you should look up Wynton Marsalis Carnival of Venice or Wynton Marsalis Flight of the Bumblebee on YouTube if you want to hear a fantastic trumpet player. But anyway.
You don't like his improv.
It's not him particularly, but every freaking instrumentalist in that orchestra has to have an improv solo during every single song.
That's jazz, man. That's big band jazz. Have you never watched, Google or YouTube any given Harry Connick video, and in his song he'll sing for a bit, scooby doo doo zap da doo doo doo, and then the sax dude will do he's like,
but hey. I have
and
never
the trombonist
understood.
And the triangle players back there like ding 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 ding.
Look, I am a musician. I am a classically trained college degree musician.
In fairness, your degree is not in music.
It is in music.
It is?
Yes. My degree is in music.
How did I never know this?
I've got a music degree. I don't know how you don't know that.
I thought your degree was like in comic books and something.
No, it wasn't. It's in music. But anyway, I'm not a fan of improv. I don't think most people don't do it well, in my opinion. And even if you do, I don't need 15 minutes of you doing scales in the middle of a song.
This is how I feel about Mariah Carey and such when they do the runs. Speaking of diarrhea, when they do the runs,
Right, exactly. So that's it. It was good. My grandmother is almost 92 years old. And let me just tell you, trying to get anywhere with her is like...
Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no.
A
no.
snail.
No.
A snail.
See, Adam, I just came back from Florida, where I spent almost an entire week with my... Hold that thought for just a second.
Right.
Yes, hello. Ow.
Yeah, hi guys, I see Christopher Silvery death phone. Mexican comedian Chespirito, dead at 85. He was the inspiration for the Simpsons Bumblebee Band. Bye.
Is it wrong when I heard Mexican comedian, I immediately thought Joe Batanz?
Joe Batanz. Joe Batanz has died. Oh no! Go to hell, Joe. Oh, sorry.
Wait, no, hold on. I think maybe we buzzed too soon there. You know, it is Christmas time. Mini shows are not taking time off. They're just going into pre-recorded bits, not to mention any names. Catching up. But, we'll be here every week. And, RT Cruiser is a valuable member of our family, and it's Christmas time. And in this season of giving...
I don't even know how to spell that. Desperico. Desperico.
Desperico.
Okay, fine.
Desperico suave. No, so I just spent an entire week with my family down in Florida. And my sister is the world's... No. My sister, do not make me hit the de-debatansification button again. No, my sister is... just takes forever to, and she's completely oblivious to anything else going on around her. Like, I'll give you an idea. Yesterday we went to Disney. I took my mom for her 84th birthday. I took her to Disney, and we went. So it was my mom and my sister and my nephew's girlfriend, Courtney, it was also her birthday that day. And it was my other nephew, Derek, and his daughter, who's my grandniece, Annabelle. So we all went to Disney yesterday. And it's rainy. It's not pouring down rain, but it's kind of misting rain when we get there. So we're in the parking lot. And Cindy's like, over in the trunk of her car, like looking for stuff and whatever. We're all like standing there getting wet, and she's just like, "Oh, did you want a sandwich to take in?" I was like, "No, I want to go get on the tram where I can get dry." It's like, "Will you please just?" And she just takes forever. It's like, we got to that parking lot at Disney. We got there. By the way, we parked in where did we park? Oh, we parked in Hook 80.
Okay,
yeah, 82. But we got in that parking lot at about like 10 a.m. By the time we got up and they bought their tickets, which was in itself an entire ordeal, it was noon. It was like, that's how long it took her to, like, it's like she carried on a conversation with the Disney people and was like, you know, it was like just in no hurry whatsoever. The rest of us just standing there cold and wet, ready to go in and enjoy a real castle.
So your mom's there getting wet as well?
Yeah, like, my mom's getting wet as well. You know. So here's the thing. So I go to lunch with my sister the first day that I was there, I guess on Thursday. So I got in.
I believe you posted a photo of that.
I did. I got on Wednesday evening. So I went to lunch. So when I go to Florida, I line up restaurants to eat at that we don't have up here. Right. So there's no concept of barbecue in the Northeast United States. There's just zero concept of good barbecue up here. So when I go there, I like to eat at the barbecue restaurants. I also like to eat at Tijuana Flats because they have really good Mexican spicy food at Tijuana Flats that they do not have up here in the Northeast. And I also like to eat at some of the southern places down there because we have no concept of southern food up here. So that first day, I was eating at the Sonny's Barbecue. Now, Sonny's Barbecue is not in anybody's way, shape, or form. In no way, shape, or form is Sonny's Barbecue a fancy restaurant. It is a chain barbecue restaurant that you can find anywhere in the Southeast. And my sister, for some unknown reason, has never eaten at Sonny's Barbecue in her 60 years of life. So even though they're everywhere, you cannot walk in Florida without tripping over Sonny's. So I was like, all right, well, that's where I'm going. I'm going to Sonny's. They have a salad bar. You can eat that. Right. And so she goes there and she decides that she's going to get the smoked turkey plate that comes with two sides. And so the little waitress girl there is just sitting there going like, okay, well, you have two sides with that. And so she's, oh, side. Where would that be? Sides. Where are those listed at? Over. Oh, here they are over here. Tell me about your coleslaw. What the fuck? It's like you got this little 18-year-old server girl. It's just like, what? I felt like she was going to say, you know, it's cabbage and mayonnaise, a little bit of sugar.
Some carrots, maybe.
Maybe some poppy seed. I don't know. It's just like it was some kind of vintage of wine or something, though. It's just like,
right.
Tell me about your coleslaw.
Let me tell you.
Is that aged correctly back there in the back or something like that? It was just very.
The year on the coleslaw, let me tell you. We have a really good year. It was a good year for coleslaw.
It was just horrible.
My stepdad does this thing. It does not matter where we go, where, and I may have mentioned this before, he never selects an item from the menu. He picks two things.
Yes.
And then he asks the waiter what is their favorite between the two.
Oh.
And so I know, like, that's a common roulette thing.
Yeah,
I know that's a common thing for people to do.
That's where you got that, because when you were here at Bobby Flay's, I said, get the steak. You went with the pork chops because the waiter said, oh, absolutely, the pork chop, absolutely. Well, and it was god awful.
I never do that. That's like the one time I've done that. And that's because it's an expensive restaurant. And I honestly didn't know what I wanted to get. So I thought, surely the waiter knows. You know, they make them eat this stuff to know what it tastes like. And anyway.
All right. So I was there with my family in Florida.
Now, there are differences in coleslaw, though. I mean, it is funny that she has that.
There are sweet coleslaws.
There are more vinegary coleslaws. Yeah, yeah. You know, I like a sweet coleslaw myself.
Well, the Sonny's Barbecue is a typical Southern coleslaw, which is made. If you'd like to know how it's made, I'll tell you, because I used to make it at the seafood restaurant I used to work at. So it's basically just cabbage. You run the cabbage through the shredder, and you shred the cabbage into a big, huge bucket, right? So you, like, shred, like, six or seven heads of cabbage into this big, huge bucket, mm-hmm. and then you take that big, huge can of mayonnaise that you get at at the Costco or whatever, you know, the big 5-gallon thing of mayonnaise, and
Sam's.
You get an industrial spoon and you slap some mayo into the thing there, and then you grab, like, you know, a big bag of sugar and you dump about half a bag of sugar in there.
Yeah.
You do, and then you slice up some carrots and you add those in there and a little bit of poppy seeds, and then you stir vigorously. And just put some of that clear plastic wrap over it and shove it in the walk-in cooler and let it sit in there and steep for, you know, 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah. Sounds great. I like sweet coleslaw. Actually, KFC's coleslaw I like.
There you go.
And Chick-fil-A, although I'm not supposed to eat there. Shh. Don't tell anyone.
I won't tell anyone. So I felt like there was something I was going for here. I don't care. I don't know.
So, speaking of coleslaw.
Speaking of coleslaw.
We walk in the other day.
Yeah.
And
the phone rang.
And the phone rang, amazingly. We don't even have a phone, and the phone rang.
Hi, guys. Andy Cruiser for the Celebrity Test Home.
Yes.
British actress Joanna Dunham, dead at 78. She was famous for playing that trollop Mary Magdalene in The Greatest Story Ever Told. Bye.
Now, this is up your alley because I, of course, am an atheist, so...
Joanna...
Crenum or something?
I don't know. We'll give it to him.
There you go.
Why not?
Congratulations, RT Cruz. You got two entries.
Joanna something. Yeah. Right. Joanna something.
Right. So, all right. So, you were saying you walked in.
We walked in the other day, and Mark has two fish that we named Fish 1 and fish two.
Oh, that's great. Because you could have named them, one fish, two fish, and then gotten more and called them red fish, blue fish.
Well, we could have. But, he didn't know what to name them. And he decided when we started dating, he was going to name them. And I said, well, you just could call them fish one and fish two. Anyway, so fish one, we come in and we see the fins look really funny. Like one of them is all limp and just kind of hanging over. And like another one's all curled like the fish has arthritis. And there's these white weird edges on them and whatever.
Yeah.
And the fish, I don't know what is wrong, but the fish for the last year, they just leave their mouths up at the top of the tank all the time. Like they are just gasping for air.
They're trying to learn how to breathe air so that they can come out and kill you in your sleep. I'm sure
he has done. And I'm assuming it, and he's looked it up on Google, and we think they are lacking oxygen. I guess they've outgrown the tank. I'm not sure. But anyway.
So you don't believe that you're aerating the tank enough.
Well, he's added bubbly things. He's added extra filters. Yes. Yes. He's done, he cleans it regularly. He's done everything he could possibly do other than getting a larger tank, which I told him he should do.
Right. Yeah.
But he's cheap. Anyway, so we come in and the fish has a problem. And so we Google that and apparently it's fin rot.
Fin rot.
Is what it's called. And it suggests, and it says, fish with a weakened immune system may get this. I'm always so worried about these fish because they're always gasping for air. And I'm like, you need to get a bigger tank. They're gasping for air for a year. They're like suffocating.
Poor little fish.
And so we come in and now one of them.
I might call the ASPCA.
Now one of them's got fin rot. And I'm like, okay. So then. He reads, okay, for fin rot, you get this liquid antibiotic stuff that you can get at Walmart or wherever, and you get some aquarium salt, and you like treat the water, and it'll help with fin rot. So he does that, and he starts doing it. About 2 days later, we come in.
See, even someone in the chat said aquarium salt works best.
Well, he should have started with the salt, which you're going to hear next. Mm-hmm. I guess he should have started with the salt. Anyway, we come in a couple of days later, and fish one. Is floating kind of like he's gasping for air, except not moving.
Yeah, that's never
and
good.
I don't know if the fish is dead or just so close to death that he couldn't do anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was so sad. I almost cried. So
you
then we're like, what do we do?
Fish
I'm like,
fish
what tanks. Do we do? I'm like, I don't think he's dead. I think he's like almost dead.
Yes, hello, this is Mittens. I'm calling to say fish one is dead.
So, anyway, it looked like he was barely breathing because his little fin was just moving ever so slightly. Mm-hmm. But I even poked him a couple of times and he wouldn't move.
Poking the fish.
And so we thought, well, fish two is still fairly healthy and we shouldn't leave this rotting fish in there with him.
If this be Bedlam, the dead fish story.
So anyway, I was really sad. We flushed fish one.
You flushed fish?
We flushed
without knowing
fish
whether
one.
He's dead or not, you flushed him.
Well, he's dead now.
There's an entire Edgar Allan Poe series of stories like where people get buried alive or whatever. What if little fish one was like close to death? Oh, no, but I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. Oh, he just flushed me down.
We poked him several times. He didn't move.
Like on Facebook? Because I never check those things.
And the thing is, you can't just put them into another thing of water because that'll shock them and kill them. You have to prepare water before you can just put them in there.
Right.
So what do you? That's what you do with fish, right? When they die, you flush them.
I don't have fish. I don't know.
So I was really sad.
According to the movie Finding Nemo, which I take to be a documentary on actual fish ownership, yes, you do flush them. So,
well,
let's see. What I wanted to say though was the I just read in the chat room.
So now Fish 2.
People are very upset. People are very upset about Fish 1 dying.
Fish 2
RIP
is lonely.
What kind of fish were these?
They're goldfish.
All right, so what is the average lifespan of a goldfish?
I don't know. They were about, well, Fish 2 is over 3 years old. Fish 1, you know, is dead now, I assume.
No, as Crone said, he swam out to sea and he lives happily.
Maybe. He's finding Nemo, finding Dory now.
To this day.
But yeah. I don't know. Well, they outgrew the tank is what I think happened. And I keep trying to say, anyway, we'll see.
You know,
see.
A 5-gallon tank with filters is only $35 on Amazon.
This is like a 10-gallon tank, I think. But these fish got really big. They're about that
God,
long.
What did you feed these things if they're that big?
I don't know. I mean, you just fish food.
I thought fish figs. Fish food. Fish.
There is no 30 years. How do you keep a goldfish alive 30 years, please? They are finicky things.
Well, there you go.
We almost lost one of them when we moved. And I think I told that story where, I mean, it was just floating there on the side and like didn't get enough. And we had to transfer it over to the, it was probably fish one.
You know, speaking of
fish one had a death wish.
Speaking of finicky things, have you listened to the latest episode of It's All About Me?
No, I haven't.
Are you still boycotting them?
I'm not boycotting them, but I haven't.
They apologized to you for saying that you weren't pretty or something, whatever it was that you were upset about them for.
I'm not boycotting them, but I have not listened to the most recent episode. No.
All right. You know, you might just want to skip it. Just skip over that one there. But I just wanted to say,
was there bad stuff about me or something?
No, they just they might have had some unkind words to say about someone who you idolize. That's all, you know.
Oh, she did a bad job on whatever, some Christmas special, probably. Okay, fine.
It really doesn't matter. But what I was going to say is that on this particular show, they haven't mentioned us in like 6 episodes, and then suddenly they're like try to cram it all in this episode, and then blame the episode being bad on them talking about us. So that's just that's not. For those of you who may not listen, there's a show based out of Arkansas called It's All About Milk or something like that. It's a married couple that live in Arkansas. They work at Walmart and they buy Christmas. So like one of them's been featured on Hoarders before from buying like village pieces, like Halloween village pieces and Christmas village peoples. Have you not seen the episode of Hoarders with Mark on it?
No, I haven't.
It is a classic. You know, I think you can get a Hoarders on Amazon Prime. Make sure you check that out because the episode where like Ed comes in is like going like, do we really need an? He's like, yes, we need another one. And it's like, it's very confrontational, very scary episode of Hoarders for the Christmas village thing. And he's got like 6,000 or 7,000 little village pieces there. And he names each one of the little people in the village. He's like, that is Steve. And Steve is walking down the street and he's going to get mugged by Jeremy, who's hiding over here behind the mailbox. And yeah, it's very sad.
Very sad.
I think the current Christmas village has like a little group of protesters all for the Ferguson thing. They're like a little Ferguson protesters there inside the little
They've
Christmas
village.
It's very sad. It's very sad.
Cans of mace or whatever it is.
What I'm trying to say is that, you know, it can be funny to make fun of, you know, of it. Not to make fun of, but it can be funny, some of people's like little quirks that they might have and everything. But when it hits you personally, it's very difficult to do. Now, I know like on the last show, I made a couple of jokes about my mom forgetting things and whatnot. And I've just spent a week down there. And I'm not saying this to get, you know, like, oh, poor you or whatever like that. It's, but it is a very emotionally draining and difficult thing to do, to deal with, you know, a parent who is in essence losing their mind. It is a very surreal kind of a thing because you kind of feel like you're talking to a home movie version of your parent because you kind of know they're not going to retain anything you say to them. So you could tell them something and they're going to turn around and, you know, a minute and a half later, ask you the exact same question that you're going to have to answer the same. So I got in on Wednesday night. How long are you staying until was asked every single day. And it was still a surprise this morning when I left that I was leaving today. Even though it's written on the calendar, she's asked me every day and I've told her that I'm here until Tuesday. And she's, you know, well, I got to do this and this and I won't get to see you, because I'm working on Monday. I'm like, no, you're not working. We're going to Disney for your birthday on Monday. Oh, really? And it's like, yes, we've already arranged for the person to fill in for you at the hospital that day. And because she runs the flower cart on Mondays or whatever. And yet she would forget that. She would forget that constantly. And, you know, she got very antsy on Sunday evening you know, she actually like woke me up at like 12:41 a.m., which is way past her bedtime. And she like woke me up. She's knocked on the door of the bedroom. I'm like, yeah, I was watching TV and I was like, yeah. And she's like, you know, I can't go to Disney tomorrow because I've got to run the flower cart at the hospital. And, you know, I can't leave them, you know, without anyone to fill in. And I'm like, Mom, we've already filled, you know, we've already taken care of that. That was taken care of days ago. It's fine. You're good. And, cause I was really worried about that. And I couldn't get to sleep, and it's tragic and it's sad. And it's one of those things that is like, you just, sometimes you feel so angry about it. I mean, it's not her fault, right? So you can't get mad at her because right. It's not her fault. She's not doing anything there. She's just unable to retain. Well, and that's a misnomer too, right? So she's able to retain as much as she was before. The problem lies in retrieval is the scientific jumbo behind that because she can't, you know, she can hear you and she does process the things as far as her brain right. is storing the information. It's just that she's having problems retrieving it. And she can learn new things, right? So it's like there was a question at the beginning of the week, you know, it's like, where's Robert? Why is Robert not here? It's like, oh, well, we're going through a divorce and, you know, it's friendly. We're still friends and, you know, everything's okay. And she was okay with that. And then like 30 seconds later, it's like, well, why is Robert not here? Where's Robert? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then later during the week, it transitioned to, you know, well, do you think you and Robert will get back together? You know, so she was at least demonstrating that she was recalling that information, which is a good sign. We have her on a lot of different medications and stuff, and that is one of those things that is good. But it is just so, anyone who's ever gone through this before, it is a very tough thing to do because physically she is fine. Physically, she could live for another 10, 15 years, right? I mean, she's just healthy as a horse. But
right.
mentally, she's just slowly... She forgets things. She knows she forgets things, which makes it worse, right? She knows that she forgets things. She oftentimes will forget that she's supposed to go eat lunch with you or something, and will have already eaten lunch, but doesn't want to let on that, because then she realizes that she was supposed to eat lunch with yeah. you, so then she will still go to lunch with you. And it's just very, it's very difficult, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And if anyone was offended by my jokes that I made last week, I have a very odd family. We have all, most of my family has a medical background, or there's doctors or in some way, shape or form involved with hospitals. And we, growing up, my dad would make really kind of, I don't want to say morbid jokes, but I mean, that's just the way doctors process things. And being in a growing up in a doctor's household, we all kind of adopted that attitude of like, well, we're going to make a joke about it because it's better than the alternative of.
Well, you know, laughing's better than.
Yeah. You know. I mean, but it can be dark. Some of our jokes can be dark. So I didn't want to drag this off into a whole little dark place here, but it was just a very hard thing to deal with. And I, especially like at Christmas time, like we got the tree down and she started putting lights on. She's had these lights for like years and the lights are burnt out. The lights don't work. But every year she just like puts them back in the box. And right, so there's, and so I'm just like, look, these lights don't work. Oh, well, can't we like switch the bulbs? I'm like, no, they just, mom, a string of lights costs $6. Let's just go get you some more lights. And she was just like, no, here's some lights over here. And so I managed to get the lights that weren't working into a bag and I threw them away. And she had two strings that were working and they weren't quite enough to finish the tree. I'm like, you know what? Let's just go get you some more lights. We'll go get some more lights. So I went and took a shower, came back out of the shower to go and get her some lights, drive down to the Walgreens and get her some lights, right? And she had gotten the bag of lights out of the garbage and was walking around with them going, well, I found these and they don't seem to work. And I don't know. She's like, oh my God, I just threw them away. And you just came back, you went and got them out of the garbage and brought them back to life. It's very. I didn't mean to bring the show down. I'm sorry, but
No. You did not bring the show down. People like to hear about our lives, even if it's
one of the really cool things about her, though, is that she did at least get excited every time I told her we were going to Disney on her birthday. So it's like, you know, although I told her 30 times over the week that we were taking her to Disney on Monday, at least every time she was excited about doing it. You know, it's like, oh, that'll be great. And
well, you know, one thing, I've been having a really hard time figuring out what Christmas presents to get people.
Yes.
You know, one thing about your mom is you could just outright ask her what she wants. She could tell you. And then it's still going to be a surprise. You know,
true. However, mom pretty much has everything, and we don't really do presents like that. I think probably what we'll do is I will get her a pre-lit tree for next year. As soon as the trees go on sale after Christmas, I'm getting her a pre-lit tree for next year so that she don't have to go through the light thing again.
I would never string another tree with lights. I hate that.
Oh, God. It's just, it's god awful.
It's horrible.
But anyway, so I didn't mean to bring it. So, yeah, we went to Disney, and it was a really great time.
Better than California?
I'm not going to say better, because Nico was in California. Nico went with
me. Oh, okay. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Going with my brother and sister and the rest of my family was, you know, kind of close there. No, you know what? My favorite fireworks show in the world is Wishes at Disney. You might know it as the Big Fatty getting things out of the P.O. box music, but it's actually a fireworks show. It's my favorite one. It's great. I always like to watch it right on Main Street. You can see it from other places, but I'm going to tell you that if you're ever in Disney and you want to see the Wishes show, make sure you watch it on Main Street so that you have the castle and then the fireworks right by, perfectly frames them, and it's a great place to watch it.
We missed it because of rain.
It was raining. I didn't care. I stayed there in the rain. Tinkerbell.
They told us it was canceled.
Those bastards.
And then they did it anyway after we left.
They never canceled. And then I like that. And then it was the other thing. I went and did all the new things. So they built this whole new area there with the princesses. So there's Ariel's Grotto and Belle's Enchanted Workshop. And I think Pocahontas has a place back there. It's in the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So there's like a whole new roller coaster thing back there that I went and rode that I hadn't done any of those things before. And I got to do them with my little 5-year-old, grandniece, who was super excited to meet Belle and to meet Ariel. And, you know, it's just, it's always great to go with a kid because you just get to be a kid yourself again. I guess after they left, then it was just my brother and sister-in-law and I that stayed to watch the fireworks. But when we were killing time before the fireworks, not killing time, but going to do anything, say they had taken the Jungle Cruise. The Jungle Cruise is an original Disneyland ride. I mean, that's how old this ride is. It is the oldest ride in either park. The Jungle Cruise. And at Christmas time, they rename it to the Jingle Cruise. And it's like really bad. It's always really bad jokes. But this time now it's really bad jokes around Christmas and the holidays and stuff. So yeah, we went and did the Jingle Cruise. It's always better to do the Jingle Cruise at night, though. But yes, we did do the Jingle Cruise at night. It was great. So
fun.
I feel like I've just killed the entire show. Just yes. Hello, person.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Archie Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Author, Leslie Feinberg, dead at 65. Mm. She was trans.
All right, there you go. I think he lost me to author. I can't read. Anyway,
we already gave him two this episode anyway.
The news.
All right. Well, this makes me think of something we did a really long time ago that we can't find the audio for. But in Des Moines, Iowa, a picky eater was jailed Tuesday for reportedly using a McDonald's McChicken sandwich as a weapon against his pregnant wife, according to a police report.
When was this?
It was on a day similar to today.
Yeah.
So the same day as today. The day that we record on.
Oh, no. I wasn't trying to get you. I wasn't trying to trick you into saying Tuesday. I was, do you know the date? Like the actual date, like the Tuesday.
Oh, the date?
Does anyone know where Paul Armstrong was that day?
I think.
Because this does sound suspiciously like Paul Armstrong.
Well, it was posted on December 3rd, so I would say it was last Tuesday.
So it was right after Thanksgiving. Yeah. Okay.
So the Des Moines Register reports Marvin, whatever, who was 21.
Just say Paul Armstrong.
Paul Armstrong, 21, admitted to police that he threw the sandwich at his wife
boyfriend.
Because he doesn't like them. He was arrested for simple domestic assault and taken to the Polk County Jail. Des Moines police met with Hill at the couple's home, and he told police it was actually his wife who assaulted him. He said his wife woke him up around 1 p.m. with a McChicken in hand.
How dare she?
He admitted to police that he became upset and threw the sandwich at her, then picked up some of the bun, throwing it at her again. Anyway, the woman went into the bathroom to clean herself up. He followed her and began recording her with his cell phone.
Oh, wow.
Which he shared with the police later. His wife had mayonnaise on her shirt and face when officers located her. According to the woman, Hill had forcefully smashed the bun into her face.
There's not much of a bun on a McChicken sandwich, really. I mean... I don't know.
Maybe he was trying to get her to have sex for chicken
McNuggets. Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
Anyway, so there you go. There's your McChicken sandwich for our McChicken story for today.
The McChicken story for today.
In other news,
yes,
it is Christmas time
in the city.
So you know, everyone has that holiday feeling, and anyway, and everyone wants to take their children to see Santa Claus.
Well.
Except
for, I don't know, non-Christians, people that'll celebrate Christmas.
Santa Claus is not a Christian thing. Santa Claus is totally non-Christian.
You know what? Let's put the X back in Xmas. That's what I got to say.
A child protection activist has backed calls for children not to sit on the laps of shopping center Santas for Christmas photos.
Because, I'm scared to know why. Why?
Prompted by a debate among parents on social media, Bravehearts founder Hetty Johnston spoke out about the need for children to feel safe and not feel pressured to sit on Santa's knee.
Should they sit on Jesus's lap or something? I'm not sure.
I'm thinking this is more of a, well, let's read some more here. The directive would be for children to stand beside unless parents or children request to sit on the knee. Shopping centers have a duty of care to protect children on premises. We teach kids it's okay to say no if they don't feel safe. This means not having to sit on anyone's lap, including family members, if they don't want to.
But how? Okay.
In 2011,
were they forced to sit on Santa? Was there ever a rule that said you couldn't stand next to Santa?
I don't know. This is in Australia, by the way.
Well, of course it is.
So they have a poll here. Do you think that children should be banned from sitting on Santa's knee?
You know, this is the thing. This is like, I think it should be perfectly acceptable. If you want to stand next to Santa, then that's great. And if you don't want to sit on Santa's knee, I think that should be great. But to ban everyone else from doing it because you don't want your kids to do it, that seems a bit, you know, that's like something Baron Frosty would do that.
So it says, in 2011, sweeping new changes were brought into schools in the UK. Parents who offered to dress up as Santa were told they must not allow students to sit on their laps and they cannot be left alone with them. The General Secretary of the National Association of Head Teachers told the UK's Telegraph the new laws meant many of its members had decided it was better if Father Christmases avoided all physical contact with children.
Well, there you go. You know, this sounds a lot like Baron Frosty. And I know I said, you know, that I didn't want to do a lot of inside baseball things. So for those of you who've never heard of Baron Frosty before, he is a gentleman who does a podcast. He's also a pediatric neurosurgeon, by the way. So he's a world-renowned pediatric neurosurgeon who takes time out of his busy schedule to do a show called Next Blime, which has something, it's some neurological term that I don't remember what the blime stands for, but it has something to do with the brain matter, and there's like a thing. Anyway, it's a great show. He does it, he records it between patients, and it's you can check it out over at itsallaboutblime.com or something like that. I don't know. You can probably find it somewhere. Anyway, so yeah, there you go. So is that the news then, Adam? That's the news?
That's the news.
It's now time for your favorite part of the show, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Wow. Got interrupted in the middle of the Dora song by a call. That almost never happens. Yes, hello?
Hey, it's Travis. I'm calling to report that Cesar Millan has died of a heart attack.
Cesar Millan is the dog whisperer.
The dog whisperer, yes.
Or whatever. Yes. And he did not die.
Oh, so Cesar Millan did not die.
Cesar Millan is very much alive.
Sorry, but thank you for calling, Travis. I don't think Travis has ever called before. Has Travis called before?
I did not have him in my database of
a brand new caller. Thank you, Travis, for calling. We appreciate that. But no, Cesar Millan.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Now back to our regularly scheduled Dora. All right. right, Adam. This is the part of the show where you play me musical cues, and I guess whose birthday it is based solely off of those musical cues and my own brain matter, which is called Blime.
It is that part of the show.
Yes. I will use my Blime to figure out the birthday that you're going to have. This is called stalling. For those of you who don't know, I'm stalling while Adam finds a cue.
I got it.
Good. Excellent. We're ready. Let's move along then and to our first birthday.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
This sounds a lot like old Blue Eyes himself, Frank Sinatra.
It's not. I don't know why you never get this one right.
It sounds a lot like Bing Crosby.
It's not.
It sounds a lot like Danny Thomas.
It is not.
It sounds a lot like Andy Williams.
It is. Now, let me tell you guys something. Andy Williams, the year after my father's death,
yes,
my grandparents took my mom and I to see the Christmas show of Andy Williams, yes, where he sang this very song. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Can you bring it down a little?
Sure, okay. It's down pretty low. Anyway, I love him. He died last year, mm-hmm, but he had a really good show, mm-hmm, and his Christmas show was the most popular
in
one.
In Branson.
Yeah.
You know, I think I heard on a Vera Speaks episode, which, by the way, for those who don't know, Vera Speaks is another podcast. It's done out of L.A., but it was Vera Speaks, I think, on an episode that their new Christmas tradition is going and seeing Andy Williams Mall every year, which I believe they've preserved in Branson, Missouri. So you can actually go and see Andy Williams Mall.
Well, there you go. They still have his theater called the Moon River Theater.
It's wider than a mile.
And that's another famous song of his, Moon River. Anyway, all right, Andy Williams would have been 87 years old.
87 years old.
And, you know, he died, I believe, at 86 or 85. I can't remember.
Yes.
But he was still doing his show all the way up to his death. So,
great.
And I think I said right after he died that I had just been thinking about going to his Christmas show that year.
All right.
Exactly. And then he died.
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay,
here we go. Happy birthday.
Yay. The theme to Sanford and Son.
Yes, it is.
So is it one of the two main characters, either Fred or Lamont?
It would be of the two.
So he's dead. There's a clue there. I'm going to go with Red Fox with two X's.
Well, I didn't say he was dead.
Oh.
But he is dead.
Oh.
Yes, it is Red Fox.
Yes.
I'm coming to see you.
Ethel, he's already coming to see you.
This is a big one. Or whatever he said. So Red Fox, my brother used to watch that show constantly. Anyway, Red Fox.
I believe Joe Atant said in some gathering at some point where the three of us were there, I believe he said, you know, that show holds up.
I didn't ever love that show.
I don't.
But my brother watched it.
Go and watch it. Now, I don't know. Can I see that on YouTube now? Can I see that?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't looked.
I have to look.
Anyway. All right, so here we go. So the next one, here is a little speaking/singing part from a movie.
Gotcha.
And find a fantastic banquet. Our fair is a veritable smorgasbord, 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 after the crowds have ceased.
All right.
Each night.
It sounds like one of those old chain smoking broads. You know, like the B. Arthurs, the Ethel Williams of the world.
Now, this is an animated movie.
Is this true? Is this appetizing yarn of yours true? Well, I find Nellon Rhinesand, it's a hot dogs, cookie crumbs.
That sounds like that sounds a lot like Center Square himself, Paul Lynde.
I don't know his name, but he's a very it's not him. It's the woman.
Okay, I don't know.
All right. So the movie. So I have another one, but this movie is it is Uncle. It is Uncle Arthur who's
Paul Lynde. Yes.
But anyway. And surprisingly enough, both of these actors were in the next show that I'm going to play.
All right, go ahead.
And anyway, she's the goose in Charlotte's Web.
Oh, the goose in Charlotte's Web
is one of my favorite. Okay. I cried at the end of that movie.
Okay.
But here is the one you will recognize.
I recognize this. Oh, this is the theme to Bewitched.
Yes, it is.
All right, so she was on Bewitched. Is it a she?
She, oh, yes.
So it's not Paul Lynde, because Paul Lynde was also in Bewitched.
I'm saying they were both on both of these.
Is this it? Agnes Moorehead didn't sing, though, did she?
You tell me.
Is it Agnes Moorehead? Is it Endora?
It is. Agnes Moorehead, Endora. You know, and she was so sick of that role by the time.
By the time Durwood got replaced for the third time.
But, yeah, so Agnes Moorehead, I love her. She was Endora on Bewitched, and I didn't know until today she was the goose.
I did not know
on
that either.
On 1973 animated movie, Charlotte's Web, which I think is the best version of Charlotte's Web.
Is it, made by those the Christmas people that we're supposed to know who they are, the Rankin?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know who did it, but
it's like the Rankin File Studios or something. I don't apparently know. We're supposed to be experts on like who produces television shows or something like that. It's I don't know.
Somewhat Bumbles Bounce in the chat room is telling us Rankin.
Yeah, I have an idea that Bumbles Bounce is probably that one part of that Arkansas couple that does that milk show, I think.
Oh, maybe so. Yeah. All right. So anyway, Endora would be 108.
108 years old for Agnes Moorehead. Yeah. Had she still been alive. Great.
Yeah. All right. So here's the next one. This is a hard one,
is this
too.
The last one?
We have two more.
So this seems like it's probably like a Lois or a Mary Tyler Moore. And it's not a Mary Tyler Moore. It's You Girl and You Know It. Is that Mary Tyler Moore? All right, so it's Mary Tyler Moore.
Yes. Okay, so that's Mary Tyler Moore.
Yes.
You're going to need more than one.
I'm going to need more than one.
So here is the next one.
Here we go. This is Too Close for Comfort.
Oh, wow. You got that so quick. It hasn't even gone into the melody yet.
Yeah, because I used to like Monroe on this show. So it's,
I love
it's
this
the dude.
Show.
It's the dude. It's the Ted Baxter. Is that his name? Or was that his character
name?
That's
not the actor's name. That's the character's name.
Yeah.
He had a cow puppet.
Yeah.
And he wrote this comic with the cow puppet on his hand. Yeah, I love that show. Yeah. Love that show.
Mm-hmm. And Monroe, who was straight.
And his wife was Nancy DeSalt. Okay,
so it's him. I don't know his actual name.
Yes. So it is. It's Ted Knight.
Well, he was Ted. He was Ted in both shows. He was Ted, the news guy on Mary Tyler Moore, and he was Ted in Ted Baxter in the, or maybe Ted Baxter was from Mary Tyler Moore.
So anyway, so I understand that a lot of the people that I have said are dead.
Yes.
Which is not against the rules. Uh-huh. Bumbles Bounce.
Uh huh.
I happen to like a lot of people who are old. I'm sorry. Anyway, or
which
I like
it,
the
show. It goes
like
so it. Against the idea of you being a Twinkie. Anyway, go ahead.
I like the shows that they ran. I loved Too Close for Comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Andy Williams wasn't in a show. But anyway, I loved Bewitched.
You liked being abused by Andy Williams.
So here is our last one, and these are movies. So, I'm going to play a little bit of this one.
All right, our last one. It's a movie.
And
it just seems like it's taking forever.
Sorry. Here we go.
So, this is the theme to Skyfall.
Yes. Okay, now you won't know by that.
I won't know by that.
So, I'm going to play this one. Actually, I'm going to play... Hold on. I'm going to play this one. Hopefully, there's not a commercial. Oh, there's an Xbox commercial. Dang it.
It's an Xbox.
While we're waiting on... Well, no, we can't. I have to let that play. So anyway, yes, Quantum... What? Skyfall, sorry.
Yeah, Skyfall. Not
Skyfall
Quantum of Solace.
Is one of,
yes.
Not Quantum of Solace. Yeah, Skyfall,
yes.
Is one of them. Man, this is a long ad. It's not one you can skip
is
either.
It Judi Dench?
Damn it. Well, we should at least hear the next one because there was something...
You didn't have to confirm or deny. This is awesome.
But the key is, this is a James Bond. Yes. No, this is James Bond with that other British guy, Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan, yeah.
Yes. The other one was Skyfall with Daniel Craig, it's not James Bond. But yes, it is Judy Dench.
James Bond. They're both James Bond.
Well, no, but I mean it's not James Bond's birthday because it's two different actors.
Okay, yeah,
that's why I chose two different.
It was M,
yes. And apparently she died in the most recent James Bond movie.
Spoiler alert.
And she's 80 years old.
Excellent.
And
that does
it.
That does it. So birthdays here we have at Pride 48. We have, let's see, Kingsley. We're doing the ones that are coming up, right?
The ones that have already been.
Oh, we're doing the ones that have already been. So we are doing Pod as My Co-Pilot Taylor and Gay Country West, which I believe we did both of those. Also, today, December 9th is Carlos's birthday, and December 8th, yesterday, was my mom's birthday. And you know what? I totally didn't talk about my dinner with the Pod as My Co-Pilot crew because of our abbreviated show tonight, but I will next time. I had a great dinner with them, and for those of you who don't know Taylor, his father suddenly passed away, and so our thoughts are with him, and I didn't want to go on and on about what a great dinner I had and what a great time I had and everything, and they're obviously in a very sad time over there. So I did though have dinner with Taffy and Tank and Taylor and Babalu. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. All right, so those are our birthdays. Happy birthday to each and every one of them. Stop the birthday song, which I had faded out, and I instead stopped the contact song, which I had faded in.
You were so excited that we had a contact this week. You wanted to play it twice.
I love that song. All right, let's go to our contact here, shall we? And we have several phone calls, and let's just get right to them, shall we? Oh, we also have an email, though. Shall we go to the email first, or shall we go to the
maybe
call?
Do a phone call and then an email?
Let's go to our first phone call. Hello.
Well, that was weird. The message cuts off. So this is for the tech line. This is Mark from It's All About Me podcast.
All right, this is a technology question.
Well, I put it all in the contact section.
Why did you put it all in the contact? This is clearly a...
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write
it. DI Plus Technology segment brought to you by It's All About Milk.
Rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, track it, drop it, something.
I can't do this because they're on the same channel. So I can't. I have to wait and like fade that out, and then I can play this.
I'm calling in regards to using Audacity to get rid of the dead air when editing.
Yes.
Would like to know exactly step by step how to do that. Okay. There tends to be a lot of dead air whenever Dan's talking, so would like to get that cleared up. So if you guys could help list me out, that'd be great. Look forward to listening to you tonight. Bye.
Okay, so yes, it's Mark from It's All About Milk, and so yes, you can use Audacity to automatically remove dead air. Well, not dead air, but to remove empty spaces from your recording.
It's simple. Why do you need step by step? You go to Effect.
Then go ahead and tell him. So you go to Effect.
Effect, and then you go to Truncate Silence.
Yes, but then there's Settings.
Well, the settings aren't. I just use the default settings.
So you just use the default settings.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm actually recording right now, so I can't see. So I'm trying to get to my, let's see if somebody has the actual settings here that I can look at. Yeah. All right. So basically, this is what you want to do is this seems really old.
The default is minimum silence duration, 200 milliseconds, max silence duration, 1000 milliseconds. silence compression 4:1.
Right.
And threshold for silence, -55 dB.
Right. So
I don't know what you do.
Well, no, I'm saying it looks like maybe, is there a new version of Audacity that maybe we're not using? Because it looks like they've simplified it now to just basically.
Oh, maybe.
To detect silence, the level that you want to go to is like what you consider to be silence, right? So if you're recording things that have some quieter parts in them, you don't want it to truncate that, because it may take out some of the words. So you want to make sure that what you are truncating is actually silence. So you want to make sure that your level is set. And the easiest way to test that is to highlight a piece of audio that you have there where there's some quiet talking, and then set the level and then do a preview, because that'll just do the silence on that, just that selected piece of audio, and make sure that it does what you want it to do. Once you've chosen the correct level, then everything else is just really determining how long of a chunk of silence you want it to pay attention to, right? Because these are computers and they gauge things by thousandths of a second, if not more. So if you just tell the computer, I want you to remove every piece of silence, then it would literally take the pauses between the syllables in our words out, right? So it would just sound really, really crazy. So what we say is, no, we want it to at least be a second of silence, like at least a second of silence before you decide to take it out. And then what we want you to do is we want you to compress it down by a certain amount. In our case, we use 4:1. Actually, in my case, I use 4:1 for things below like a minute, a second and a half, and anything over a second and a half, I'd say just completely truncate it. Like, so if I have a 30-second piece of silence, I don't want the 30 seconds to be compressed by 4. I want you to just get rid of it in just that 1 second. So there's a couple of settings there, but it's real easy to play with if you just, you know, record some stuff and then just come back and just try it out just on that little tiny piece of audio. And you can preview it. And then if you don't like the way it does, then you go and you undo it and then you try it again with different settings. But that is how you run truncate silence on a file. You do it after you're done recording. And it's done. Yes. If you use multiple tracks, like we do, like Adam's on one track and I'm on another track and yada, 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 then you want to combine the tracks first before you do the truncate silence. Or you want to do the trick that Adam does. No, you can't even do the lock track thing because that won't work.
You can.
Yeah, but it won't work right. Anyway, the point is you want to mix and render them together into a single track so that you're taking out this. Otherwise, you'll be taking out silence of one track, which gets it off from the other one so that they don't match up anymore. Yes. So it's something that you do after you've done your other processing, right? So you've done your other stuff, you've combined, and so the way we do things is we do our noise reduction first individually. So I do a noise reduction on each of our individual tracks because we are in different places. We have different background noises. So we do a noise reduction on both individual tracks and then combine them into one. And then I do the truncate silence. And then I do the actual speeding it up by 4.1%. And then I levelate it. And then I bring it back and compress it and into an MP3.
Yeah, and you definitely want to remove the silence and the noise before you levelate.
Great.
But that was not asked.
That was not asked. All right, great. So there you go. I'm not going to play the end of the tech segment song because I just the things. All right, let's go to our next phone call. This one comes in. Here we go. Let's listen to it right now.
Hello. Hello. This is R.T. Cruiser with a diss, the dubious diss. Never mind. Hi, Stubby Smelly. Hi, guys. Just wanted to say, you know, this Mike Lawson bashing really, really has to stop. If Mike Lawson does not want to date elderly birds who use laptops after 6 p.m. on Wednesdays, he should not be shamed. He can use all the judgment he wants. It's fine. It's just, you got to get over. Anyways, that's not what I called about. Daniel Brewer, yeah, yes. I, too, actually have all my life wanted to go to the Magic Castle. And actually, I was lucky enough to get a card from Joe, yes. Although he probably regrets it now. I think he hates me now. But anyways, he gave me a card while I was in Vegas to get into the super secret Magic Castle, super secret double probation entrance.
Right.
And like I said, I'm terribly sorry you did not have the best experience there, but I hope you go again, because I'm sure under different circumstances it probably would be good. So I hope you go again. I've always wanted to see Bill Bixby and Mark Wilson and the lovely Nanny Darnell there.
You know. Right.
But that's not what I called about. What I really called about was Adam and Daniel.
Isn't Bill Bixby?
I think
yes.
We heard from the highest authority on this, but I'm curious
yes.
To hear what you two think
yes.
about this.
What?
Now, probably the greatest living brain in a wheelchair has spoken about this
fact that technology is going to eat our brains. Have you heard this?
I haven't.
Yeah, that guy in the wheelchair. What's his name? I forgot all of a sudden.
Stephen Hawking? But
he's the smartest man on the planet, even smarter than Carl Sagan. And he's in a wheelchair.
Right.
And he says AI is going to kill us all.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, you may want to pick up a regular newspaper now, Daniel Brewer, or at least, you know, not use your iPad on Wednesday evenings, you know, because artificial intelligence is going to kill us all. But what do you think about that? Seriously, kids. In a sci-fi way, it does seem, you know, kind of like a Terminator way. I can see this happening. It does seem like it's fine. But anyways, he's the greatest living brain on Earth. And
I know.
It's going to happen.
Right, yeah.
So
wow.
That's what I really called about. And I'd be interested to hear what you guys think about that. All right. Thanks. Great. Bye.
All right.
Well,
excellent.
My answer will be much shorter than Daniel's.
Please go ahead. Please go ahead, Adam.
Well, I don't know. So there are two points there. One of them would be technology eating our brains, which would be, that, to me, that sounds like making us dumber.
Uh-huh.
Which I think that whereas before we were required to memorize things and have random facts in our brains, having access to searching things, you know, right at our fingertips and at our, you know, everything, we probably won't have as good a memories, like remembering everything. But I think our other skills, other brain skills will grow more. I don't know how to say that. I think our brains will expand in other ways. It will free up our brains to do more critical thinking and, you know, stuff like that. So I think memory may be an issue, but other than that, I don't think. And no, we're the ones that program artificial intelligence and everything. And it's going to be so many years before it gets good enough for something to even if it's possible for a machine to actually become sentient or think enough to want to kill us. I'll be long dead before then anyway. So
actually, well, that is a misnomer, right? They're not talking about a machine becoming sentient. What they are talking about is a machine having the... So in other words, for its artificial intelligence, right? You don't have to be sentient. You don't have to be sentient to be intelligent. So artificial intelligence, like a machine is basically acting on its own, an autonomous type thing that becomes so obsessed with making things more efficient, right? Because of its programming. It's like it's designed here to make this process more efficient, and it's given the free rein to think about how to make things more efficient. And its answer to it is, well, the way for it to become most efficient is to remove the humans from the equation, blah, blah, blah. And so then you would end up with a non-sentient yet intelligent creature or, you know, machine that basically would figure out some way to eliminate all the humans out of the equation. However, this is a old thought experiment that comes around once every 10 or 15 years, you know, some kind of increase or some step forward that we make in technology comes along and we get to talk about, you know, oh, things are going to get... It's highly unlikely. The number of things that would have to go right for this to have happened, right? The number of systems that this machine would have to have, or this program would have to have control over in order to actually kill us, is crazy. It's not like your computer could go and take over your even your DVR right now. It's not even like it could go and interface with any other electronic in the house. We just don't.
Well, you know,
capitalism ensures that we live in a world where every piece of electronic refuses to work with the other one unless you, buy
all this,
them. And so.
All this home automation stuff with your, you know, your thermostat being on in the cloud,
right.
And
so
Wi-Fi.
You could end up with an AI that might make it really cold.
It'll make
in your
it
house.
Really or really hot. It'll be, you know, 98 degrees. You'll be burning up. And then RT Cruiser says his toaster hates him. You know, you'll have it'll constantly burn your toast.
Yeah, it will. And actually, if you read the BBC article about Stephen Hawking, he was responding to a, let's see, blah, blah, blah. His warning came in response to a question about a revamp of the technology he uses to communicate, which involves a basic form of AI, which is, you know, an important point, right? He is using a piece of eye tracking software and a piece of like brainwave piece of software there that allows him to actually select the words that he's going to produce on his voice synthesizer there. However, if you read into the article there, he's like, yeah, I guess maybe, but he's also kind of, you know, the stuff that we have now is really very helpful. And
I just want to get to the point that there's this other guy that's always talking about us eventually being able to live forever, ever, and I can't remember what his name is, but he's very famous.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks that eventually we'll be able to just put the contents of our brain into a machine.
Yes.
And I can't remember who he is. But
that'll be awesome. If you think about it, everything below the neck exists solely to keep the brain alive, right?
Yeah.
And if you think about it that way, then yes, why couldn't I just transfer, just get rid of my body and just keep my brain alive and give me some kind of mechanical body for me to go around and use and then, you know, kill people. It'll be great. All right, so let's get to our next phone call. Wow, this is like taking a real long time here. Hello.
Hi, it's Toppy Smelly. You know, I just called this line back and it was busy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You guys got that much. Anyways, speaking of Mark Wolfson at the Magic Castle and lovely Darnell, Nanny Darnell.
And
well,
Bill Bixby.
And he was, his name was Greg. This is like in the 70s, like 1974. He's this cute little mop-haired kid with blonde hair, and he looked totally dorky and goofy on stage with his parents. Anyways, Google him now. Greg Wilson. Greg Wilson. I dare you to Google him. Oh, my God. I'm in love. Anyways, Greg Wilson today. Check it out. Bye.
Do you know how many Greg Wilsons there are in the world? Like, Greg Wilson, there's a Greg Wilson that plays for the Broncos. Are you talking about him? There's a Greg Wilson that is a comedian. There's a Greg Wilson that is a paleontologist. There's one that's a DJ. Let's see. I don't know. There's a lot of them. I don't know. There's a Greg Wilson that's a youth pastor. I don't.
There is a mop-haired Greg Wilson.
They
here.
Are all of various different forms of attractive and unattractiveness. So I don't know.
Maybe if you search Greg Wilson Magic Castle or magician.
Greg. Well, there seems to be more than one Greg Wilson magician.
Oh, there are. So, yeah. There's
Gregory Wilson, and then there's another Greg Wilson with braces. And
anyway. There's more than one Greg Wilson magician, Toppy, so who knows?
Exactly. Right. Well, thank you so much for the phone call.
There's a black one?
Thank you so much for the phone call there, Toppy. Well, no, Toppy wouldn't have known anything about a black one because it's in the 70s and everyone was racist back then. All right, let's go to our last phone call here. This comes in from Carrie. Let's listen to that, shall we? Hello.
Hey, guys, it's Carrie. So I was thinking about if I was going to be able to make it to the live show tonight, and I think I will be able to, so... But that made me realize I hadn't called y'all in a couple of weeks, and I thought I'd call and say hi. The first and foremost thing I wanted to mention is I, with our income tax money this year, am going to buy a season pass for Disney. So
excellent.
I think y'all should try to come, both of you, Daniel and Adam, should try to come down to California and go Disney with Ethan and me and Kennedy and Charles. It would be super fun. We are going to go as much as possible because no reason to waste a season pass.
Exactly.
And so I hope to be there tonight. If I'm not, it's because mommy duty calls. And as much as I wish I could neglect my children to participate in the live chat room audience of DI Plus, I am too good of a mom for that. So we'll see who wins. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Excellent. No, so Carrie did indeed make it here tonight. And
so does that mean she's neglecting her children? Is it either or?
If you had looked in the chat room earlier, she posted a picture. Ethan is apparently watching the rank and file Christmas thing on TV.
Do you know it's the 50th anniversary of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on television?
The rank and file thing there that I was talking about. It was like the 50th anniversary of that. Let's get over here to our email here so that we can get out of here. Let's see. Come on, open. This comes in to us from our listener, Sky. Long time listener, Sky, from South Carolina.
This will not be a short answer from Daniel. We'll be here another half hour. Go ahead.
So, as you might deduce from the subject of this email, the subject of the email is... So I'm working on starting a podcast. So as you might deduce from the subject of this email, my husband, some friends, and myself are starting a podcast. So since I've been listening to you guys long enough to know that you guys have a much higher level of expertise when it comes to the whole podcast production thingy, I was hoping you guys could give me a couple of recommendations in regards to programs to use for editing, hosting services, etc. The podcast we're doing will be rather different from you guys, being more of an audio drama instead. So here, have some free content. You can burn some time discussing things and fill the time. Talk to you guys later, Sky. So you're asking specifically about programs for editing and hosting services and whatnot. So you're not asking about hardware, which would be the things that we would probably go on and on about. So what I did want to say is it really doesn't matter where you host your podcast. I know there's a lot of thought about that. A lot of, some people really, really like one service or another service. The trick to it is to host it in a place that where you control the feed. So there's two pieces of a podcast that go up when you're hosting them. There's the actual physical location on the internet where your audio lives, And then there is a pointer to that audio, which is called your feed, right? This is a small XML file, which is just a text file that describes where the audio lives. And it is the name of that. So that text file, that XML file, is what gets submitted to all of the different podcast casters. So it gets submitted to all the directories. So it gets submitted to iTunes, it gets submitted to us, it gets submitted to, you know, TuneIn Radio. They all pick it up. And that is how they tell whether or not there's a new show that you have published, right? If they check that XML file. And if there is, then, oh, look, this is where it belongs. So the pit that people fall into, or the trap that people fall into sometimes, is using one of these free podcasting services like, what's the one called that people were just recently starting to use? Podbean, is it maybe? What is the...
Oh, I don't know. There is one called Podbean, but that's a fairly old one.
Is it Podomatic that was offering things for free now? I know there was one... anyway, there's several free ones like that. Yeah, Podbean is a free podcast hosting, blah, 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 blah. And it's fine to use those kind of things, but what you want to make sure is that you have control of that XML file. So what most podcasters use is a disambiguation service called FeedBurner. So you actually set up a FeedBurner feed that you then include your Podbean or your podcast Pickle or wherever, or your Libsyn or wherever you're going to have it, you include that XML address into your feed burner so that in the future and you decide you want to move to a different service, all you have to do is change your feed burner feed. Just go in and edit your feed burner feed at feed burner. And that's the one that you've submitted to everyone, right? So you've submitted the feed burner feed to everyone else. You've never submitted the Podbean or the other ones like that. So you can always just go in and change it down the line if those things, end up not being what you want. But yeah, I would check out like Podbean. What's the other one called? Podcast. I just said it just a little while ago.
Libsyn.
No, that's not the free one. So Podbean is free. What's the other one? Podomatic is
you
free.
You said Podomatic, Podcast Pickle.
Yeah, I don't think Podcast Pickle exists anymore. So yeah, check out like Podomatic and Podbean. They both have free hosting things that you can get set up there.
Also, if you have a WordPress...
True. If you have a WordPress
blog or whatever, there's a plugin for WordPress that automatically will convert your WordPress. You can set it up so that it converts your WordPress blog into a feed.
But the trick there is that you would have to store your files somewhere because WordPress is not going to let you store your files there. So then you would be storing your files like maybe on like a GoDaddy account or something like that where you could actually FTP your files up. And so there's two pieces, right? You have to have your files living somewhere up in the cloud and then you have to have some way to get to them. And as far as the other software, there's only one piece of software that you ever need to worry about for editing. It's called Audacity. Don't let anyone tell you differently. Audacity is the only piece of software that you'll ever need for podcast editing. It is... Everyone in the Pride 48 community, except for a couple of stubborn ones, use it and can help you with it. And it's, there's plenty of resources online. It's a completely free program. It's an amazing piece of software for what it is. It's absolutely what you should use. So there you go. That's my 2 cents worth. Adam, do you have anything to add to that?
I think that's it.
I think you've done it.
You can, if you, something we struggle with doing quickly because I do it manually is creating that feed. So there are programs that do that.
Yes, do not fall into that. Yeah, because if you use Podbean or Podomatic, it will build an XML file for you. You just want to include that address into your feed burner and give everyone the feed burner address. But yeah, don't fall into Adam's trap of like doing it automatically because that's bullshit.
It was a thing.
It's bullshit. Because the other thing that I should warn you about is don't worry about doing any kind of compression and everything like that because if you compress it too much, you get all crunchy. Hold on one fucking second.
What?
I missed one.
Oh.
Yes.
Hello. I don't think we can do that.
Hello. I can do whatever I want. It's my show, goddammit. Hello.
Hola, muchachos. It's Nico. Estoy llamando because Ken Weatherwax, the hombre who played Pugsley on the Addams Family TV show, is muerto. He died.
Really?
He's like 59 or something. Really don't know why he died. Just that he's dead. Dead.
Dead.
Dead.
Dead.
Anyway, eso era todo. Bye.
You know, I'm looking at Ken Weatherwax here online in the images of Google. He really does. He looks kind of the same. I mean, he looks older, but I mean, he's like, he's really kind of kept that look going his entire life there. So, he died from a heart attack at 59, Pugsley from the Addams Family.
Oh, poor Pugsley.
Poor Pugsley. All right, now back to our regularly scheduled show closing. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line. 2x2 DI Plus. That's something that I don't have up in front of me. Where's that?
229-234-7587.
That's exactly what I meant. Or you can send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. So.
Our show. It's our show.
Well, yeah, you know what I meant.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the thing is, I just wanted to say, let this say, whenever they say the only people that ever get interrupted by the death phone is you, clearly this evening I have proved that wrong. It has interrupted the birthday song. It interrupted the closing song. It interrupted me. Interrupted you.
It's crazy, that death phone.
This is crazy.
How dare
you. All right. Thank you for being here.
I'm going to go now and mourn the death of Fish 1.
And Fish 2. Good night, Chet.
Good night, David.